Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Football Pod Club on Off the Ball in partnership with AIB,
proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships for men's football, hurling, ladies football and camogie, because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
How's it going? You're very welcome along to the Football Pod Club. We're back in one of our favourite spots in the country, Killarney. We've been here a few times. I wonder why. James O'Donoghue, Paddy Andrews. Great to be back with you. And we've got two brilliant guests. So Shane Ryan, Kerry goalkeeper, and Rat Moore, and Gavin White, Kerry captain, and Dr. Crokes. You are listening to the Football Pod Club here in Jimmy Bryan's in Killarney. We're down with thanks to AIB, who look after the pod and keep us on the road. James, Jimmy Bryan's, we can just feel the Kerry heritage and the history and the football coming off heritage. The walls here. Look at this. All the club jerseys, there's photographs, there's an All-Star team in the corner. You were trying to name everyone from that team earlier on.
There is mostly Kerry, obviously.
There's a couple of me men there as well.
Nice Legion jersey. Yeah. It's actually the nicest one there, I'd say. It's a lovely pub, though, isn't it?
It's lovely, yeah, and just all the history as well. How have you boys been the last couple of weeks and months? It's probably been non-stop as well.
Yeah, it has been non-stop, I suppose, Shane. It's probably a bit different than I work, so we carried there a couple of weeks ago, so I've had the last 2 weeks off, but up until then it's been absolutely crazy. So the truth between obviously getting Sam McGuire down to Kerry and going straight into the club campaign, then it's week on week, like, so it's hectic enough, but it's been busy, but I've always said that's a good complaint to have.
You must have been hanging at the end of that Mick Kerry again. Because if they won and won the county championship, you could still represent Kerry and the Munster.
Yeah.
Obviously because they lost. It's a club team that's going to be in the final.
Yeah, it was unusual over the weekend, I suppose, to see them. Dingle beat them yesterday. Unfortunately, it wasn't the Beale. And look, it is what it is now. Look, it was out of our hands, so we can't really do much about it.
Just to remind the rest of the country, there's the club championship and then there's the county
every
championship.
Every single pod we do, we have to break down the Kerry
figure
structure.
This out again. So,
we're sitting together with both Mets teachers. I think it's ways or teach how you ever met. They'll just teach. And teach people about the Kerry championship.
Shane, Ratmore at the weekend, you had an unbelievable one against East Kerry a week ago. And then at the weekend against Stacks, he just came up short. It didn't happen for you, county championship semi-final. So we're chatting now on the Monday. This isn't going out for a few weeks, but that's a sickener, like you were chasing.
Yeah, very disappointing because I suppose we have two semi-finals last this year now after two good quarter-final wins beforehand. And I was actually telling you last week, I've never played a county senior final with my club. So and we've never made a county championship final. So it was a huge game for us. Unfortunately, we just came out the wrong side of it. Stacks were outstanding in the day, and were full value for the win. They beat us by 7, and they were probably at least that much a better team. So unfortunately, it didn't go our way.
Joe Connor's playing some football still, isn't he?
Frightening.
Jesus. You're saying you're marking him?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. I don't think that wasn't the plan out for us to tell me and Joe, but at the end of the first half, he made a drive at me, and he turned on his left on the top of the 2-point arc, and I said, "Oh, go on, I'll let him have it." And went over the black spot and he got that
with his right, you'd be saying phenomenal score.
Yeah. And I suppose Joe was such a leader for, he's a leader for us in Kerry as well, but he's such a leader for Stacks that it gave the crowd kind of a huge boost as well, and they were going in with their tails up at half time. And
sure, he turned and he sprinted into his restroom in about 35 kilometres an hour. He was buzzing after him.
Yeah, so and Paul got injured in for us as well, so he left us at half time and kind of gave us a bit of uphill test the second half.
Yeah. And you need everybody in club championships, don't you? Especially, it's the same with county football, obviously, but in club football, you need your best 15.
Oh, you do. When I've often said that, and I've even said it to coaches and that more, like, you know, whatever it takes to get your best 15 on the field on championship day, like, whether that means they don't train for 2 weeks beforehand, you send them up for cryotherapy, up to the player, whatever it is, get them in the field and you want to have a bad chance, like.
Yeah. Well, like, to be honest, you've had unbelievable years, obviously, with the county and yourselves and Dr. Crokes last year, you had a brilliant run as well. They're so long and they roll on. I'm not going to say it's a good thing, but you are going to get a bit of a break. O'Donoghue Cup aside, obviously, that James is named after James O'Donoghue, obviously, no?
We're gone, so it's not too important to
see.
They're going to Nashville.
That's a good thing. That's the thing, you're like, we're chatting to you after your holiday, this will be going out, like, so that's a big thing. You get a switch off a little bit, I suppose, do you?
Yeah, I think it's probably different for Geb. I suppose for me, going back to the club gives me serious energy because it's a new position for me. I'm playing outfield in my club.
Yeah.
So I almost see that as a little bit of a break. I suppose there's not as much pressure playing in full forward line as there is in goal sometimes. But I think mentally, I think Paddy, you mentioned that already, I think mentally is the biggest aspect, because when the championship is so intense now, you're going every 2 weeks, game after game, training is at such a high level now. Off the field, you make sure your video analysis done, your physical and mental prep, that it's so intense, but just to get the mental break. And I think all you need is probably 3 or 4 weeks off.
Weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know? And then you get the juices going again and you're kind of ready to hit the road again.
But that's what I find whenever I get some sort of a break. After 2 weeks, you kind of want to go back and you're kind of forcing yourself to sit out a bit. But I couldn't agree more. It's the mental break.
When you get a break, would you do different training? Like, we would have done this a good bit. Like, okay, we might finish with the club, but you might have 6 weeks or so, and you might, you know, play basketball or play soccer or some sort of different. You're still being active, but it's...
You did boxing, did you, 1 year?
We've done loads of different things. Like, you want to keep the body active, mentally you're training, but it's completely different being out on the pitch. And luckily, you go back in January, there's going to be slogs for your pre-season.
It's golf, the boys aren't, I think.
I was just going to say,
golf doesn't go as exercise now.
Speed golf, don't you?
Golf's also good for the head. Golf, good for the head.
You are right. It's nice to change up. Even a bit of Astro soccer and stuff sometimes. And you know, you're probably having a bit of crack there and you're getting the calories I remember listening to one of New Zealand players after he retired, and he was saying he doesn't eat to train, he now trains so he can eat.
Right.
And there's probably a bit of that in the off season as well. It gets rid of the guilt.
Yeah. Training is worth 4 points.
Yeah, exactly.
You would try as old soccer, didn't you?
I did. I actually went over to Nottingham Forest for a week when I was 13.
Oh yeah?
It was off the back of Kennedy Cup actually. And we had a very successful team with Clary Celtic. We had a ridiculous amount of the Kerry players in that team actually.
Who did you have that time?
With Paddy Clifford. So I think our team was, I was in goal, we had Paddy Clifford left back, we had Shane Cronin right back, we had Dan Dunne centre back, Michal Burns was playing in that team, Jordan Kiley played in that team.
Jeez.
Who else was there? There was a rake of footballers that are currently playing in club football and with Kerry as well. Beat us in above in Clary Celtic after extra time.
Right.
There was a ball that came in. We went nil all. Like, this was Ireland against Portugal stuff. Now that
party cleaning.
It was a 5-5-0 on the pin side, and a ball came across 6-yard box. I was in goal, and it hit a hole and ricocheted into the net.
Oh wow!
And Celtic.
Above and Celtic.
That's why I did it up the field.
That's it up the field. But I got tries after that, and I didn't really enjoy it all. Right now, I was a bit homesick and stuff. I actually loved soccer when I came home.
Did you give it up? It's young to go over there, though, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, it
13
is
young.
Yeah, it 13. Is. Yeah. Who was the Forest boss
back in 2011 or 12? The Forest were a different animal than they were now. Like, they'd obviously gone off a cliff.
Ronan Murphy was over there now. He was around the youth academy. He plays at Beaufort.
Okay.
Yeah. And Brendan Maloney.
Maloney had a great career.
Was there at the time. So there was a good few Irish over there kind of in trials.
Oh, he was with Forest, yeah.
But yeah, like, I just didn't really. I don't know. I suppose I'm a fierce homebird, and I really like living at home. I love the football and stuff, and I kind of had to make a decision then. You know, if I was really going to go at the soccer, you kind of need to commit to it. And you know, GA was always it for me. Like,
if you're playing up front, would you have kept it going?
I don't know. I was covering so many blisters after the weekend. I bought a brand new pair of Predators going over, like the wine ones with the tongue.
Yeah.
Sure. Or something.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, sure. We were training 2 hours in the morning, break 2 hours in the evening. 4 hours in the pitch, or I was destroyed and blistered after 2 days.
And is this a trial, like, or do you just fall in with the...
So actually all the goalkeepers trained with the youth academy, with the youth team, so we had about 10 keepers trained with the youth team. But they put me in, actually, the first thing they did put me over is put me in the game against Bradford under 13.
No way.
Jeez. And sure, Kerry soccer, I'm never receiving a pass back.
Yeah.
It's always going over the top.
They're playing over the back.
The boys are pinning the ball back to me, I'm going, Rue one. And your man came into, he's like, settle down. I was like, I don't know what's happening here. Like,
some little Portuguese fella playing centre.
Yeah, cool experience though.
It's short-lived, but that's a pretty cool story. Like, that's a great experience.
Yeah. It was cool. And I suppose that nearly was the foundation for me kind of getting involved with Kerry in goal, because I never had a dream of playing for Kerry in goal, to be honest. I played outfield underage, always with Ratmore. Still do, thankfully. And you know, people I looked up to in Kerry were the likes of this fella, Gooch, Declan Sullivan. They were the fellas I kind of wanted to be like. I always saw myself as a forward. But then I got relatively successful in goal for Kerry and ended up being in goal for development squads then. And that's kind of where it came from, really. But
he's kind of embracing this reluctant goalie tag, isn't he?
He does.
It's going all right.
Yeah.
It's going all right.
No, we'll come back to that. We definitely will. You're Did you have a career outside of the Gaelic football? Or was it always
sort of like that? No,
was a Gaelic football prodigy from a young age, and that was it, Gavin White. There was nothing else.
Like as a young fella, you kind of you tip your toes into everything, I suppose.
Surely athletics, you could have had something there.
Bits and pieces, and signed them on. No, a bit actually. Yeah, I was joining the community games and all that sort of stuff, but not majorly with athletics, really. No, for me growing up, it was mainly the football, a bit of soccer, basketball, and I played a good bit of hurling as well when I was younger as well.
Did you?
Yeah, up until maybe I was 16 or 17.
Crokes are really the only hurling club in Killarney, are they?
Crokes, yeah. And I played a bit of intercounty hurling when I was that age as well, like, but wasn't really for me in the end. Like, I had to make a decision, obviously, when the minors came along at that 16, 17 years of age. I don't have a story quite like Shane.
Kerry hurling in Nottingham Forest. Yeah.
Not everyone does. Just what Shane was talking about there, like the, I suppose, the bubble and the mental break. Is it a bit different when you're captain? And you've been there before, but you're walking around now as an All-Ireland winning captain. There's probably responsibilities that go with that too, that maybe the lads aren't fully aware of or fully in tune with, or they can just kind of let you take care of stuff?
Yeah, look, I suppose I was lucky enough that this is my second year being nominated as captain from winning the county championship with Crokes. Mm. And I would have probably taken this year differently than I did in 19. Obviously, 19, it was only my second year really into the Kerry senior squad, so this year was completely different. And in fairness, I just kind of felt like this year I was going to play my own game like I would have done in previous years. Obviously, there was bits and pieces that I had to do, like, but I kind of got the boys involved as much as I possibly could to make decisions, because ultimately, like, you can't do this by yourself. Yeah. And that was a big learning for me, I suppose, from 19 to this year, whereas 19 it was kind of all new and I felt like I had to do everything myself.
What was that like in 19, though? Because if you're coming in second year in the panel and next thing you're captain, like, that's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, it was daunting enough, to be fair. Like, I didn't really know what to expect, to tell you the truth. I was still trying to cement my own position on the team. Okay.
You're playing a bit of 10 as well that year, aren't you?
I was, yeah. I was kind of mixing around the whole place. I started at 7, then I went to wing forward. And yeah, it didn't then welcome me there. I was sort of marking Jack in the final. And
in the final of 19?
He cleaned me out that day. Like, so that was my end of my duration at wing forward. But yeah, it was tricky. As I said, wasn't quite sure how to handle it.
Because of the long campaigns with Crokes at the time, am I right in saying you hadn't even started a league game by the time you were named Kerry captain?
Yeah, it's SO, yeah.
Like, that's
the pressure you're putting on a fella's shoulders there at that age.
It's different.
It's incredible.
It must have been a totally different experience 6 years on.
Absolutely. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. You embraced it this time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, I suppose this year again, when we went to Crokes, we were finished, the club campaign was finished a small bit earlier, so I got a bit of league action. But yeah, look, I obviously would have been, I had a lot more experience under my belt. I would have felt in the last couple of years I kind of try to grow into a leadership type role anyway, without being named as captain and all that. But as I said, look, just loads of legendary dressing room to try to bring on with you.
It strikes me that you have a fair amount of leaders in that dressing room and in different areas of the field. It's still a relatively young team in lots of ways. Not as young as you were in 19. Like, you're going up against Paddy's team that are chasing 5 in a row. I was just crunching a couple of numbers earlier. Like, the Dublin team was surprisingly young at the time. They had already broken through Howard and Conn and Mannion and Jack were obviously established.
There was a new phase coming into that team.
They were about 27 or 8, I think the average age was. Like, the Kerry team's average age was just 24. And there was four All-Stars in your dressing room, there's 28 in theirs.
Yeah.
And you came that close, though, to stopping a 5 in a row. Like,
too close for our life.
Yeah, what do you reflect on that 19 year? Like, it was so new for you.
Yeah, I think, I remember kind of 19 year saying every game was a step up. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so every game was kind of more pressure. And I actually personally remember the 3-4-19 final, not being able to sleep, like, for 3 weeks.
Really?
I was so nervous going into that.
Yeah. Your championship debut was that year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I made my championship debut. And yeah, my league debut was that year, with the first year I came in.
Wow.
And I suppose the boys went for 5 in a row. And like, sure, there was all this history that Kerry weren't able to get it, and Dublin now were coming in. And I kind of felt, I suppose, when I was in goal again, I was kind of felt like, geez, I'm going to cause this now. I'm going to make a mistake, so I'm going to cause the 5 in a row. And I must say, that drawn game, I did not enjoy a single second of it.
Hey, I tell you, from our perspective, we would have played on, but you were a new goalkeeper.
Yeah.
We would have spent a lot of time working on kickouts, forward and against. Now, the rules have changed significantly since then, but I think you're 100% in that game.
No, in the replay. Yeah.
Like, we were,
I didn't do it.
We'll get this fella. And it was exceptional. And when you hear that side of things, that you were a young fella coming in so nervous before, you didn't cause the 5 in a row.
And you know, it's funny you said that now, Jonathan, you're looking at me. And obviously, every team looks at the opposition goalkeeper. Yeah. But all that year, like, we'd be looking at, we'd say Cluxton, and we're going through with maybe chinks in the arm or maybe kick outs or something like. And I'm thinking, what are the boys saying about me here? Do they know I don't fancy this? And like, I think in your first year, you can over egg the analysis side of it. At the end of the day, you're going out playing a game that you played with the last 20 years. And I think when you do, when I actually enjoyed the replay so much more, even though we lost it, which is weird, because I knew what to expect. I was like, this is fine, I'm okay.
When you're maybe coming from the outside in, you're hearing all the noise maybe in 17, 18 from not being, or from 18 not being in, because you weren't in that year. So
you're
then
not
you
in 19?
No, 19 is my first year.
I thought
you were in 17.
Well, I was in 17 for a month when Keely left.
Keely packed.
And then 18, I kind of said I wanted to commit outfield.
What? I didn't know that.
Jeez, I missed that conversation.
So, I missed that in all my research.
So
every year since literally 14 to 21, I wanted to come outfield. And
I mean, managed to 25, not 21. You still want to.
Sorry, to the age of 21, I buried that hatchet at 19. I buried that hatchet at 19. But like, when I was my second year in 21 was when I was 20, Jack actually was playing me outfield. Jack was over that year and I was playing outfield. And I tore the hammer in an awful bad way. I'd say ripped it nearly off the bone. I didn't rip it off the bone, but I did a right damage to the hammer. And Jack rang me the following year, then my good 21, and I was like, look, you had your shot, now back in you go. And that was it.
Okay.
And then we came into the senior panel in 17 for a month. And in the off season, I said, look, I'm going to do everything here to get myself physically, because I knew physically I probably wasn't at it, to get me physically as in best shape as possible. And I rang him and I said, look, I want to give this a crack. I said, this is what I really want to do. I want to give it a crack. And I did. And I was probably the poorest year I had for Rathmore, because I got so kind of
consumed. Worked up.
I got so worked up and consumed. And then we weren't playing great for Rathmore, and that was kind of annoying me as well. And I was getting anxious myself and for angst with teammates and stuff. And then Peter rang me in 19 to go back in as a goalkeeper. And I considered it and I said, look, I'm so obsessed with football that I needed to be in an environment that would give that professionalism and stuff.
I remember when you came in 17, the management and the players were blown away by your level. So then when you didn't come back in 18, I remember it was like, Jesus, that is a big call.
That's funny, because I thought I was fierce out of my depth in 17. I remember we did a training in Spa. And he did a 4-4 press on me. I'd never seen a 4-4 press in my life.
Yeah, but nobody would live in that. It takes you a couple of sessions to get used to that. That was probably only to get the confidence of the press up as well.
Yeah. But there's only goals, yeah. I came back in 19. I said, look, I'm in it now. And I just totally forgot about the... I said, I'm a goalkeeper now. If I'm going to be successful at this, I need to fully commit it and embrace it.
I think you have to coach it.
You do.
Level, like, it's,
you do have to,
it has
yeah.
to be all consuming.
You do, yeah. And this season helps that.
It was becoming more and more an important position. Every year it was like more pressure on the goalie, more an important position. Possession, stats, all this. It just became completely a goalkeeper spotlight.
And was it the hamstring injury or was it someone convinced you?
In which, in 19?
In terms of just settling and being like, okay, I can make peace with the fact that I'm just going to be an All-Ireland and a goalkeeper.
Well, I don't know. When I committed in 19, did I know I was going to be that?
I think
I played a full year with the club in 18. I'd no inter-county. It was my first year not having inter-county experience from the age of 14, being involved in development squads. And I really missed it, to be honest. I really missed it. No, there's the added benefit. I was able to probably go on holidays. I went to America that summer for a couple of weeks. You get the nights out and stuff. But I just craved. I suppose I was seeing the likes of Gavin had made his debut in 18 and other fellas my age who I played minor 21 with. And I was like, jeez. I want
you
a bit of that.
Can't beat that bit of jealousy.
It's
fuel for the fire.
Isn't it?
To see a fella your age doing well or doing what you want to do.
It really
drives you on.
Because you were close to going to the States as well, weren't you, in 10? You've told that story before.
I was, yeah.
You were on the plane.
I made the panel in 10 without knowing, under Jack.
Oh, yeah.
I actually found out I was on the panel on the Kerry website. I swear to God, myself and John and Lyne were packing our bags to go to the States, and we found out we were number 13, 29.
Were you training at the time?
Yeah, I was training, maybe just for the summer, in and out, and then on the panel.
But how do you mean, as in on the training panel, is it?
Or no, on panel? The Munster semi-final.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Munster semi-final.
Jeez.
Cancelled the flights and didn't go. Thank God, though, I've been rolled back.
Yeah.
Size of house going back.
But that's a... there is a journey here. Your growth from when you first broke into the panel to even this year, and even the enjoyment this year, but yourself as well, from being captain in 19 to 25. Did it just happen? Does it just happen by sticking at it, or Is there other things going
like,
on?
Like when any player comes into the county squad, it takes a couple of years before you fully settle into it. Like I came in after the minor and 16, the summer 16, 17, just kind of in around the training squad. And then again, I actually missed the league until my debut was a championship game for Kerry. Like, never mind, championship debut was Kerry debut. So it certainly takes a couple of years to actually cement your place, and then obviously go on and be successful. Then it takes another couple of years to get there. So it's a journey, right? Yeah. Like, and I think some lads at times maybe might get frustrated with it, but there's certainly a commitment in there and just a mental kind of headspace that you need to get yourself into that I suppose probably separates the good club players from the counter players.
There was time to get confidence in yourself, clearly. Not that you're doubting yourself, but like very few people, we spoke with this before on the show, come out of those really successful underage careers and straight away make an impact. Like Cliffy, Kieran Kilkenny, outrageous players, mere mortals, takes a couple of years, the speed of the game, the physicality, and it's just the confidence to play at that level. It takes a year or two, you know, and then, like you say, for you, the difficulty going in and then being captain as well. It's how in God's name we navigate just the dynamics of a dressing room at that age. And then it takes 2 or 3 years and you become confident and goes on. Guys, what you're doing now this season, like one of your best years as well. So normal people takes a couple of
takes
years.
Takes the time, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you struggle with that in 19?
At the time, I would like to think I didn't, because I didn't want it to. As a player, like, we don't want anything, any outside noise to kind of affect your position or your kind of impactfulness on a team. But I suppose looking back at it now, naturally you'd probably say yes, I probably would have, just because I was so young and very inexperienced at that level. But at the time, I tried not to think about it too much, which was difficult at times, and it's weird to kind of say that, but there's certainly, like, if you're captain, you're thinking about loads of different other bits and pieces that might happen and obviously don't happen. And that obviously then takes your focus off the game itself, which is the last thing you want to do. And obviously if it's impacting the team, I guess the last thing you want to be as well. Like, so looking back on it, I suppose the natural answer is to say yes. But at the time, I'd like to think no.
Okay. You boys started in an All-Ireland minor winning side. Like, I presume you're playing underage together growing up as well. If you go through the Sportsfile archives, the first photo of Shane Ryan is actually saving a penalty in a packed Fitzgerald Stadium, Kerry Miners 2013.
That's right, yeah.
You had a minor final against Tipperary. You saved the last minute penalty that day, and you went on to beat Cork about an hour or two later. That moment, right? Does that give you? Is there a bug that goes with that? Like, I know there's a packed stadium around you. They're not necessarily all there for you, but like there must have been a bit of electricity there. Just the photo was just class. You know, I know the minor is kind of separated nowadays, but that must have just been cool.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. And I think it's actually a lesson in the modern game that the minors don't play before the seniors anymore.
Yeah. It's like, massive bugbear of Tommy Walsh, Kilkenny. Like, he talks about it every time he gets a chance. He hates it. He wants them to come back.
I could not agree more. Like, I think I was very lucky. I think I played in about 5 games when I was minor before senior games. But in Croke Park and everything, like, I played in All-Ireland quarterfinal against Tyrone before he played in 2013 as well.
But you're all around final 14, Donegal, Kerry,
But I suppose it's rare for quarterfinals.
They're huge days in your life.
They're massive. I remember looking around at that minor final on 14, and there was a break in play in second half, and we're like, Jesus, what, 82,000 fields up? Do you know, and as an 18-year-old, and I know, like, there's obviously an added pressure, but Gav, you would probably test that. Like, there were games, when you saw the fixture come out, you saw you were in 12 o'clock in Croke Park before Kerry. Wow, like. And actually, year All-Ireland winning 14 made it so much better for us as well.
Yeah.
Because I suppose he brought so much to the crowd with you. We were coming down the train with you. Like, we were drinking with you inside in the ground. We were like, this is unreal. Like.
I have a great memory coming down the semi-final. We beat Mayo in the semi-final. I was an extended panel that year. And you were under pressure and that's in Croke Park. And I think you get a last minute goal or something to equalise.
It was a draw, Donny slips it.
We nearly toppled over the bus with excitement on the bus.
Did you? Radio 1 and the bus coming down,
It was unbelievable,
You can just hear the commentary, and I'm going to take it off here. I don't know, was it Maloney or Canning or Morrissey? But David Moran's ball in to Donaghy, slipping it off to James.
Oh, you're just listening to it?
Yeah, because we
skipped the traffic so we get out.
That's unbelievable, because all the senior fixtures would dictate your fixture then. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a pity, isn't it? That I know it's.
Why did they move it? I suppose they went under 17s. So young,
They might think about it again, but it does feel very separate now. Like, it is a lot younger nowadays, isn't it? Paddy was a 3-time Dublin minor, weren't you?
Yeah, but we were shit. We never got near an All-Ireland final.
Did you not?
Oh, man. We did Rural Leinster.
Wow.
Jeez. Even that time in 14, I remember the homecoming. I remember coming down here around the corner. And like you were in front of us on your bus and we had our own bus. Like, and just the experience that, like, you always have that experience as a supporter in the car park scene, the homecoming. But to be on a bus behind the boys, like, was just...
That's class.
That's the bug though, isn't it? You get, yeah. It's like, I want more of this. Yeah. Like, you say, look, jealousy or whatever you're afraid, but like, that's the most important thing here for the next 10 years of your life.
Seals, yeah. So, there's a smashing photo as well. I don't know, was it in Killarney or was it in Rathmore? I'm not sure if you get that many people in Rathmore, but there's yourself with the minor, Tom Markham Cup. And then Sam Maguire with Paul Murphy and
that's Rathmore, yeah.
Aidan Mahoney. That's in Rathmore. It's a class photo.
Oh, it was man of the match in the senior final, wasn't it?
Yeah. Kicked the belter outside of the right boot.
He claims he was kicking it over.
Do you not think he was?
No, I do. There's a few boys giving a bit of abuse for that.
You're going around with them, I suppose, for the week.
Yeah, it was insane. Like, sure, Paul and, like, I was only 18 year old young fella, and Paul and Aidan, like, were my heroes, like, you know, and I was looking up to them, and it was Paul's first year with Kerry too, and just so happy for him, because his family are just an unbelievable footballing stronghold in Rathmore, so to see him do well, and I suppose particularly Paul had his own story about not playing minor and with Kerry, and probably even thought he was too small and stuff, and comes in his first year with Kerry, and A, he cements his starting place, and B, to have man the match performance in All-Ireland final, class for him, like.
He's had some career, hasn't he?
Savage. Even when we went off for Rathmore now at the weekend against Stacks, but you could just tell the leadership he brings to teams. So when you take that out of a team, then it's hard to. Someone doing everything right all the time. It's so easy, but it's not. Like, he's just a brilliant player. He was man of the match in his debut actually as well against Clare that year.
He scored a goal that day.
Did he? Yeah. Championship debut, man of the match goal. Top player.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You've scored a goal for Kerry, haven't you?
I've scored a couple. I'd say I need to score more goals than points.
You've scored loads of goals for Kerry.
I can remember. Yeah, great man on the end of things, Gavin.
Yeah,
tearing up someone running after you.
Derry was a goal.
There's one against Tipperary.
You
were
against us, didn't
you? Was it? Championship game.
This year?
There's a goal on Cork, not this year, but a couple of years back. Cut right through the blanket defence.
Did you get me to Tipperary on the semi-final? Or quarter-final?
Oh, Derry. The Derry one there. The Derry one, yeah, in Croke Park.
Straight after McKinnon's goal.
Yeah.
Like literally 30 seconds later.
Straight after it, yeah. Yeah, that was a big goal too, actually, yeah.
I think the nice was from you as well.
Yeah.
His shots were wicked.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't bury much from him saying goals.
And have you a celebration? Because, like, all I can think of is, I didn't realise what Joe Connor was doing at the time in the All-Ireland final.
He
threw a grenade into the hill.
Yeah, that's right.
Go on, give us it. All-Ireland final, Joe Connor rattles the back in it.
I wasn't there, no. I know we were there, not Shane, but the night before it was kind of, night before I'm fine, just kind of talk and joke and everything. And I'd say one of the boys kind of goes, if you scored a goal onto the hill, what would you do? And Joe was like, oh, I'd throw a grenade into the hill. And the way it came out, like, it was unbelievable. Yeah, the way it came out, like, yeah.
I don't know how you remember this. How do you remember the time?
We were talking there about celebrating. That's the last thing we went through my mind after going in.
Yeah.
Came back to England.
He was nailed on for a goal that day. Every game he was getting 2 goal chances.
Rifling it over the bar.
He was just putting it over. Yeah. And everyone was saying, if he just slowed down and side-footed it.
He didn't.
He didn't. Last.
He did it the weekend against she as well.
He did. No, it was more culture finish the weekend. Yeah, it was a nice finish. Bottom corner for about 15 yards, yeah.
He struck me, and you as well, Gavin, the speed and the athleticism you have, the new rules just open up running lanes. There's a bit more space for, I always said the rules will favour the most skillful players, the fastest players, people who are direct, and you can just see what you guys, when eventually he's got going through the All-Ireland series at the Croke Park, it was exceptional stuff, and he's somebody who, I can talk about people's club performances at the weekend. He's just, when you're in that zone as a player, it's like total confidence.
He's in it. He's in a sweet spot.
Like, not even thinking about anything. It's just happening for you. And one of the standout stories of the summer. Like,
I think it's such a good, I suppose, I don't know what the word is here, but representation of your squad, that the level of players' improvement over the last couple of years. Now, Joe was obviously one of them in terms of, you know, growth as an intercounty footballer. He obviously had the size always, the physicality, but his football has gone terrific. And he's not the only one. Like, a lot of your team have kind of just gone that way, like, and it's been, that's a really good mark of a squad.
Yeah, look, I think it was probably a small force this short amount of injuries we had at the start of the year, particularly around, like, Dion O'Connor went off early in the year in the National League, Berdan did the cruciate, Tom picked up a bad injury, but in fairness, some of the lads came in and did it absolutely exceptionally well. Like, my own club met there, Mark Shea, midfielder in Ireland final. It was absolutely unbelievable. Sean O'Brien kicked 2 points in Ireland final, you're right, there has been serious improvements there, footballing wise and specifically wise as well.
Why'd you put that down to, Gavin? Because look, on the outside looking in, get into this season, it's a tougher season, there's lots of games, not every team is playing at their peak week on week, and I think every team kind of had peaks and troughs. But you guys have that performance obviously against Meath, and there's like significant commentary outside the group.
From Tammy, was it?
wasn't just Tammy. Like, from within.
I was talking about Meath.
Even from within Kerry as well. Like, and Dermot was gone, obviously, the injury in the Cavan game as well. You think, are these guys going to be short around the middle? And you're coming up against an Armagh team, All Ireland champions, exceptional midfielders. And the development of those guys, not just Joe O'Connor, but like you said, Marcus, Sean O'Brien, like, incredible performances in the biggest game, and no one really outside the camp would have looked at that and said, we'll back these guys to do that. Was that their own kind of mentality, the culture in the group, the coaching from Jack or Keane O'Neill, whoever it would be? Where did that come from? Because it seemed to surprise pretty much everyone outside of Kerry and even some of your own commentators.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure you put it down, to tell you the truth. As you started that question, I suppose the first thing I came to was the Meath thing, and after that, I suppose the big thing in the squad after that defeat was that we'd stick together, and I suppose the boys, we always knew the talent that they would have inside and train, like, they've always produced, like, and I suppose they were just given their opportunities. And some lads, when they're given the opportunity, they kind of tighten up, but in fairness to the boys, they just threw the shackles off and just didn't really care and just kind of went at it. And in fairness to the two boys that you mentioned there, that's what they did. That's exactly what they did in the three games in Croke Park, which is unbelievable, to be fair.
I'd give all the credit to the two boys there, especially those two in particular, Mark and Sean, because the pressure they were under, like, was frightening. The whole game was revolving around the ball going long, competing in the air, and suddenly you're in for your first couple of championship matches and you're under them.
But dominating.
They were destroying teams. Unbelievable turnaround. Mm. But, like, do you know what I think about the rules? In terms of the way the rules have been coached up to this year, under the old rules, the game has gone cautious, wasn't it? Like, it was like, you know, there was a lot
mind,
of this.
Mind the ball.
It is.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It's going to take almost a couple of years to get that out of fellas' minds, I think. Yeah. I think that the actual chance for football to go to another level is there if teams can move it. Do you find it that way? Like, because I've even played a couple of club games inside in full forward, like, the space.
Glorious.
If you can run.
Yeah.
I can't.
And that's the thing.
If you can run, is unbelievable.
That's the thing. You're nearly not seeing runs now, because inside forwards are preconditioned to.
That's what I mean.
Let the slow pace set up. I'm going to get my loops and cuts. And you're probably right from that point of view. And I think, like, the conditions that the game are played in, too, I suppose. The club game now is kind of played in, let's say, wet fields, wet ball. When you're above Crow Park in the month of June, July, like, could you be in a better place for kicking football and for actually kind of playing almost high risk football, but it's high reward as well?
How have you felt in goal? Like you say, you're a couple of seasons of playing under the old rules, and it's stats. Keep the ball, maintain possession, short kickouts. Have you found it frustrating at times going, my stats are going to take a big hit here?
Yeah.
Because I'm just going long.
You kind of have to reprogram your mind a small bit, because I struggle with it probably throughout the year, to be honest with you, because you are like, your program for aim for your 80-90% whatever it is. But like for me, if I was putting the ball long in the last few years, I took that as a cop out. I'm not waiting for I should be waiting for a 70-30 option to appear. I'm just banging along to the boys. That's saying, boys, it's up to you. Whereas this year, you kind of have to accept it. Probably the bones of 70% of your kickouts are like that. Now, obviously, you're going to be.
But even your time to actually get the kick out off is cut to 20 seconds.
That was a disaster league. But no, in fairness, they did fix that.
But you developed, even the All Ireland final, like, and I found it particularly now at club level, going back, the amount of work that we're done on kick-out moves or strategies, and like we come up against the county championship, and the county champions in Clare in round one, Erog, and they had five or six kick-out nailed by that stage, and it was like...
Even under these rules?
Under these rules. They had them nailed in round one, so it's no surprise that they won in Clare, but like... What we were working on throughout the season, loads of different set pieces. I'm sure you have a playbook of 30 or 40. And in the All-Ireland final, you could see certain things Jason Foley was doing, or Brino Bioglik was always getting free fee as well in different ways, or Paul Murphy. So you can develop other ways around it too. You don't always have to go long, right?
Yeah, 100%. And like, if you can get a cheap possession off, it's worth so much to it, like to stem momentum in games and just take a smaller foothold, because when teams get a period of momentum, it's always on your kick-out to get it. Mm. They're just, they pinned you in for 4 or 5, like, no more so the league game here in Dublin, against Dublin, in the State Park, the wind, like, we were just, I'd say we lost 6 or 7 in a row that night. You know, which you'd heard of in the old world.
I think every team went through, like, the most famous one is obviously your quarter-final against Armagh. Mm. That third quarter was one of the most outstanding performances, but it was all on the back of Ethan Rafferty's one of the best goalkeepers in the game, and they've got these brilliant midfielders. They just couldn't get out. And that's when the momentum goes against you, lads, in a game, it's just so hard to get it back. It feels like it's nearly worse in these rules as well.
There's no way out.
In the two-pointers, there's more space, you just can't get out.
The new rules have kind of promoted that kind of high press, I felt.
It rewards front foot football.
It does. Aggression. And that's what suited G in Croke Park. He played with such aggression and anger in a really positive way. And like, to be able to channel that one day, it's like, okay, fair play to him. But he kept bringing it. Like, that edge that you brought, I think, sort of set a template for, as James mentioned, the potential that the game would go to. The Football Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you with thanks to AIB. Proud sponsors of the AIB All-Ireland Senior Club Championships in men's football, ladies football, hurling and camogie. We're celebrating Gaelic Games' unique ability to inspire. Check out AIB GA socials for more. We were speaking, you're very good to chat to me the morning after the All-Ireland win, outside the hotel.
Do you remember that?
I do.
Shane and Jason Foley. And,
I went home to late night porno.
I don't know whether... In kind of hindsight, you'd reflect on it differently, but straight away you were like, do you know the 15 minutes against Armagh that everyone was raving about? I reckon our first 15 minutes in the All-Ireland final against Donegal was more complete than that. Do you still stand by that? Because that was...
Yeah, I do. And the only reason I say that is because Donegal got patches on us in that period as well. They got some great scores in that, and it was tit for tat. So, like, in the Armagh game, I suppose we were just in. We didn't pinned in. I wasn't doing anything. The full back line were sitting there watching it. But for the first 15 of the Donegal game, like, it was a high octane first 8 or 10 minutes. And we played some really good stuff. And I suppose we had people showing up for scores that maybe wouldn't be renowned for scoring from the previous couple of games. And it was a real collective performance. I remember kind of looking up the clock. There was 15 gone. I can't remember what the score was exactly, what we were up.
It could have been 9-4, it could have been 10-4, 11-4.
Yeah, and we were saying, geez, this is good. Like, we were kind of worried that had we come too early with that patch, you know what I mean? Yeah. They were sorted in the game, they had a chance to react, and they did react. But, I probably agree with the same thing I said there,
It was clearly massive for you to set the tone that day, and, like, you were doing it from the throw-in throughout. Anyone watching Kerry games, I think, Meads Cahill Hickey got a black card from you straight in the throw-in. You went straight off from centre-back. I'm sure there's plenty of clubs trying to copy it over the year as well.
Every club in Kerry was
doing it. Yeah, weren't they? Were they all doing the Gavin White straight down the middle?
You just go. We'll go. Yeah.
So that was obviously something you had gotten onto very quickly, and you used it, like. It was a great template setter.
Did you catch him with the handshake?
I can't remember. Yeah, I remember shaking his hand, but I genuinely shook his hand as like I normally shook, and I just went, like, as soon as I saw the ref going on for the ball, I just said, I'm going here. Like,
that's
it. It was a risk,
straight
like,
away. Because you need a big break or a big block or a big fetch or a big score like that just to get a point at the time. And for Dylan to get the point as well.
It was Mark going up, like, and obviously the connection I would have to Mark throughout the club campaign over the last couple of years, I suppose that subconsciously had some sort of effect. But
are you having a little word beforehand? Like, this is our, we know what we're doing here.
Ever since, yes, the club campaign, but it's impossible. Oh, the club. in the All-Ireland final, I think we spoke about maybe the Thursday night before to come off twice. We didn't expect that at all. But I was saying to him, I'm going, and I know it was a selfish on my own behalf because I was playing centre back at the time. Like, if it goes over my head, like, just straight in and go here. Like,
it means a lot to play for any club or any county, but to play for Kerry is obviously a massive thing as well. And I know that's something that, as a group, you leaned on as well a little bit too, and I don't know whether to hark back to that Mead game too. You tapped into that a little bit after that game because you were being questioned, and we saw you come out with a bit of an edge. And we learned afterwards, I know Paul Murphy wrote a diary the week of the All Ireland final, and I think your kit man, Colin Whelan, may have left photographs in the dressing room when he went in of his kids, either with Kerry heroes or with your teammates wearing Kerry jerseys. Like, that is special, right?
Yeah, look, I suppose we tapped into that after the Mee game, obviously, because our season was on the line. If I remember correctly, Shane, I'd say the week after that game, we didn't do a whole point analysis on the game. It was just kind of going back to what it meant to wear the green and gold, I think. And a lot of the things you said there kind of reflected the way we played, particularly in the Armagh game and the semi-final and final. But it was just all about going back to basics, going back to why you play football in the first place, who the people you represent, the clubs represent, the community around you, and about doing them proud, I suppose, was probably the main thing. And as you said, look, that Paul Murphy story, I didn't actually know that, but Colin went to extreme lengths, especially when they got to Croke Park, to kind of to steer us in the right direction.
How much did you know about the criticism? Because you'd been All-Ireland champions, right? Then had won, or you had won the league. Mm-hmm. You'd come in, lost one game, and were suddenly being criticised in articles and podcasts. Tommy, like all this stuff was going on when you've only lost one game. So were you aware of the criticism or the heat that was coming on you? Which, in hindsight, was out of nowhere. Do you know, it was there was no foundation to it, but how were you aware of that? Like, or did it drive you on even?
I suppose as a player, you, like any player in the country, you try to stay away from it, but it's absolutely impossible. You can't. Like, it's going to see, someone's going to say it, you're walking and say, oh, did you hear what this fella said or that fella said, whatever. Yeah. It's impossible to stay away from it. I think, truthfully, we were more disappointed with our own performance that day. I know we were down a lot of bodies and everything, like, but it was just a performance that didn't reflect the training that we put in, the work we put in. You could hear the outside noise, right? It was very hard. I found it myself, and I don't know what you're saying, but I found it very hard to try block it out.
Especially in Killarney. But
I suppose the experience we had, sort of from my own point of view, I just tried to channel it in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Whereas maybe before, you'd be kind of saying, Jesus, it worked. Do you know that sort of way thinking about in the wrong way?
It could obviously crack a group, but clearly you did something to bring yourselves together. Like, is that Jack O'Connor, like, what is that? Like, how did you manage that?
Because I suppose you've no choice, really, because...
Like, were you questioning yourselves as well?
I suppose, are you questioning yourself? You were obviously, Gav said, you were desperately disappointed in your performance. But I think when there's a big defeat like that, and sometimes that comes in the league in a year, I suppose it came for us in a championship game, that, and we've got to give credit to me too. We were desperately disappointed. Meath were very, very good that day. And they showed, actually, after playing us, how good they were by, you know, the great games against Galway, etc., and Donegal as well. But I suppose we came down, we met in Corns on the Monday, and it's one of those things where, look, either we're going to start blaming each other, or we're going to start coming together. And it was simple as that. And I think Gav mentioned the word go back to base. Like, we were playing the following Saturday in Cavan, the best thing that could happen to us. Yeah. Playing 6 days or 7 days later, get it out of the system. Not saying that we took Cavan lightly or anything. Obviously, we prepared very diligently for that game, but we just wanted to get back in the field again. And I think as players then, we just kind of took ownership of it, and the same with the management. And sometimes it takes a defeat for you to really, you know, sometimes you can get a sense of training, do you know what, we'll be fine, we'll be grand. And then the defeat comes, and then you really look at yourself and say, right, what are the areas here that we're struggling on? And you just really go to town on those areas. But it was a great thing as well that in 7 days, you can change an awful lot tactically. Like, no. You can completely rip up the playbook.
It's a mental change.
It's a mental change. And like, how often is that, you know, how often is that a thing to lean on, that successful teams use, you know, the mental edge, getting to the aggression stakes or whatever it is, like, do you know?
The structure of championship is very different. Mm. And I would have said this a couple of times during the summer as well, and having different conversations with people in different camps. I think on the outside, everyone is still judging teams, you know, on the old traditional championship, where if you lose a championship game, that's, the season's over. Mm. The championship's like a league now. Like, it's so many teams throughout the course of the season had up and down performances in the championship. We did Tyrone's first two games of the group, and they beat Donegal and Ballybuffet. Outstanding performance, incredible, totally written off. And the following week, we're in Healy Park, and they were playing Mayo, and it was one of the worst performances you've ever seen. And Malik O'Rourke came out and said, at that point, that was so hard to get mentally back up 7 days for, like, nearly an Everest to beat Donegal in Ballybuffet. And everyone on the outside is still looking at this going, you play championship matches every 4 weeks, and you've got to be on every single time. I think we'll see over the next couple of seasons lots of teams going on and winning All-Irelands and not playing at their best in May and June and timing things. And that was the surprising thing from the outside looking in, that Kerry would traditionally have been like that. They'll kind of come through Munster, and then when they get to Croke Park, things are going to pick up. And that's why it seemed a little bit over the top at the time, as poor as maybe the Meath performance was for you guys. But to turn it around so quickly, I think we have to start looking at how we evaluate teams in the summer a little bit differently under this new structure.
Yeah. It was nearly a lucky land as well, though. And I'm not saying you were coasting. I think maybe that day against Meath, possibly combined with injuries, you might have been a couple of percentage off. I know you'd gone up and played Meath the year beforehand, and Meath rolled over that time. I'm not saying you took them for granted in that regard, but to get a land like that and to be able to reassess and have a match 7 days later and go out and do what you did against Cavan, and I suppose David Clifford then makes a bit of a call to arms, the people naturally respond.
Was that kind of mentioned by you, or was it kind of just off the cuff by the boys? Because there was a couple of fellas that came out and kind of said, lads, are you with us or not?
Yeah.
It worked, though.
Which was fair.
No, I'm not sure, was it something that was talked about?
I think it was more kind of the fact they were playing. We knew the draw was Armagh the following week. And the people were in Armagh Behus, like, I would have felt myself in there that the Armagh crowd were like absolutely Dutch. Something else for them. Like,
The Orange Wall.
Yeah.
And we would have felt like that we needed the support, the Kerry supporter, to really back us in Croke Park. That would have taken on it.
And I just think this, I'm not sure that he noticed it as supporters being at the game. I think just the bond that we had with the Kerry fans in those three games of Croke Park or something like I haven't experienced. Yeah. And like my,
but they're waiting to hang on to something. Do you know, if you give them anything.
But you know, the new rules have done that, because there's more like the kickouts now, the contests and kickouts. People love it. Mm. And but the crowd can get really into the game then, because before, I clip it out to the corner back, 22nd attack.
Yeah,
it sucks the atmosphere over the place.
It's fast-paced.
My abiding memory from the year is the last minute of the Armagh game, when the Kerry supporters stood up for the last minute and clapped. And it was something that was, innocuous enough, but I remember looking around saying, geez, this is class. Yeah. And the one thing I saw from Kerry supporters this year, which was funny, they were all wearing jerseys. Do you know, how often do you see...
Really, is that...
Epidemic? Honestly, we go up to Croke Park in black polos.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Whereas the Armagh crowd are orange, the Dubs are...
And you know, when you come out and you look around and you see the green and gold, it's like class. And the final was obviously something else, because Donegal were green and gold as well, so it was cool to look around, but... my father wore his first ever jersey to a Kerry game this year.
No way. And a mad Kerry fan.
And a mad Kerry fan. But like that, it's just a natural thing to wear a polo shirt. Yeah. And I wanted something small, but it just kind of represented that. They really wanted to kind of get behind us. And it makes a massive difference. It's like huge. And they were unreal this year in fairness.
It's funny how that, and I'm not saying the connection wasn't there beforehand, but everything just kind of gelled, like it clicked. And like a fan standing up to applaud you, and you remembering that at the end of the Armagh game. Yeah, there's probably a challenge there that it doesn't soften you. And you go and you reproduce it again the next day against Tyrone, and you did that in the semi-final.
I suppose we're kind of long enough on the road now. Our team is kind of, the fulcrum of our team has probably been together since 18, 19-ish. And we know that only Currency and Kerry is winning all Ireland's. You're not going to be stepping the back from winning quarterfinals.
So. You've been stung in semi-finals, after extra time against Tyrone.
Yeah.
After extra time against Armagh. Yeah. You've been so close in those years. I know you won in 22 and you bet going to that Ireland final, there's 23. So you weren't going to let that pass you by.
No, and look, you were obviously hoping that we could reproduce close to that against Tyrone. But again, I think, I go back to the point there, when you are, Paddy and James will probably attest to this, when you are an experienced team, you do kind of learn, you enjoy the win of the quarterfinal that evening, but then the following day you're just back to work here. It's gone, and the fact it's every 2 weeks as well means that you don't have time to linger in it. You've a week kind of recovery, you've a week to tune up to the game, and you're back on again, so you don't have time to linger on wins or anything like that.
It's definitely the right structure, I think. And every 2 weeks,
2 weeks
definitely.
Is perfect, yeah.
Definitely. No, if you pick up an injury, you're fairly good, it's just a week. Because I actually found this year, particularly those two games after the Armagh game and the Tyrone game, that emotionally you got to such a level that you needed a couple of days after to actually bring yourself back onto earth. Mm-hmm. But mentally and physically with new rules, I found it took an extra day or two to kind of recover properly. But I think the 2 weeks was awesome.
Even I was hearing things from training that the high speed meters were absolutely gone insane at training things, because there's obviously way more running in the game. Mm-hmm. And the first time I saw it was in your game against Cork, where it went to extra time and it was just relentless. No one let up. Whereas maybe a couple of years previously, the fitness thing probably did kick in at times. Was the training off the scales? Or was it just the way the new rules suited you?
I suppose traditionally, I suppose Kerry would like to be, are known for being a kicking team, like, and we obviously tried to implement that as much as we possibly can. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the high speed running was, it definitely went up a gear, but I can't remember training being absolutely off the charts either. Like, we obviously, a couple of sessions were there were big sessions, mm-hmm. and all that, but there were games where it went to higher intensity, like the game is moving faster. Sometimes mm-hmm. you just don't have time to think, you just got to play on instinct,
yeah.
And the adrenaline and all that gets you over the line and stuff, but.
The game is so much faster though, because even so like if someone's fouled, exactly, yeah. if someone's fouled, it that just keeps going.
Let's keep it for, and like yeah. say, those periods of possession, let's mind the ball and we'll basically faff around in our own 45 or on the halfway line. Those periods of play, they're not completely gone, and the FRC are still trying to work around a couple of things, but the solo one was a big thing. So if someone's fouled, and it's like, oh, well, here's 30 seconds to take a break, and when the goalkeeper's coming up kicking the freeze, and you have a beater ballot about that, it'll take about 4 minutes.
They can score from play as well, yeah. Cropper.
But it's definitely playing, a faster flow.
The boys were playing Tyrone one day in Killarney. I think it was a league game. And
Morgan.
Tyrone were winning. As in, they put down, they got a free on the 45. Morgan trots up. And as he's about to kick it, someone else takes it. And it took him like a minute and a half to get up the field. Yeah, I was like, oh, this has to change. It's ridiculous.
Paul Murphy, I mentioned that article earlier on. And I don't know, he mentioned the 2E and some of the conversations that were had that week. And I think he put it down to you being teachers and the 2 year teachers. That you're in the same here in Clarny, and you're out in
De La Salle and Macroom, yeah.
In Macroom.
Yeah.
He mentioned something you said, I think the Thursday night, and it was not to wish it away, not to wish the final away. Do you remember that?
I actually remember reading that article, and I remember saying it. Yeah, I suppose. Like in big games, I suppose, you know, you kind of spend so much time thinking about them in the lead up to the game that when you get into it, you can almost find yourself thinking your way through it rather than actually playing what's in front of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I suppose the pressure aspect and everything, you kind of want the game to be over. But I mean, if you can't enjoy an All-Ireland final and the build up to it and really embrace, I suppose, the crowd and the intensity of the game, sure, what's the point? Like, you know, we'll be long enough sitting in the sidelines watching and wanting to be out there. So when you're out there, you just kind of really have to enjoy it. And that's, you know, the older I'm getting, I suppose, I'm probably trying to do that a little bit more, just trying to enjoy even the training aspects of it or the bit of crack we have around at the dressing room and stuff, because it won't be around forever.
Oh, that's very true. I asked you in the build-up, if you'd mind bringing in something that was special to you in terms of your GA career. And I wasn't sure what you'd have, but you brought us in something, I think, a little different. I'm not sure everyone would have something like this, but you want to show us what you have here and explain to us what it is?
Yeah, I suppose the day that you gave me that, I was talking on the phone, I was actually after bringing the Sam Maguire into my own primary schools in Sion Town. And the man, James Rowland, the man as well, would have been traditionally a big footballing school.
That was the jersey
I wore in sixth class that
long sleeve as well.
Mary Brasson gave it to me, who is now married to Owen Brasson. So I just thought it was cool for them to fish it out, find it in the first place. That was, I said, 2008, 2009, I wore that jersey. And to give it to me was cool to have.
Number seven on the back as well.
Number seven on the back,
The man, James, a bit of a football academy, is it?
It is.
Sporting academy?
The man definitely played a serious role in my sporting career, because every lunchtime was like a war. Like, as in, we'd have a game of soccer, game of football, and it would be almost a death. Like, it was just the most serious thing of all time, and then you couldn't leave a goal for the rest of the week if you were after losing. It did just kind of set the tone. Your motor skills are being developed early and everything, and even your competitive side. But you know what we had? We used to have a school league. I don't know, was it gone by the time you were there?
No, it's still there. It's great seats still there, yeah.
Okay, it probably wasn't as rootless as it was when I was there, all right? So what you had the six best footballers in the school, right? So it was the sixth class kids.
Who decides this? The students or the teacher or the principal
at the time, but say...
Fourth, fifth and sixth class.
Yeah. Wow. So the six best would stand up at the top of the hall.
Yeah.
Fourth, fifth and sixth would be all sitting down. And you do a draft pick of your team. So say the best player would be sixth pick.
Who was in your year? Who was the best player?
So Jonathan Lyon would have been the best player in our class. So he had last pick, but he had two picks. And you pick your team, and then you'd all play in the summer at lunchtime, this massive school league. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It was huge,
and it was, you'd be nervous playing. Like, it was big deal. Like,
yeah. I mean, Christmas league we used to have. Yeah.
Oh, yeah? And is it like, is this being refereed? Is it
refereed by the teachers and cup and everything. And you'd be having meetings with your team at lunchtime before the games. And like, it was just class. I mean,
I think that was actually my first kind of real big introduction into how competitive football can be, I suppose, at a young age, at playing in that. Because I remember going second, third class, thinking, geez, I can't wait to be able to play in that.
Can't wait to be in the school.
That's unreal. Can you remember your team?
Who you picked? I can.
And was there a bit of canvassing going on beforehand, or are you just...
Well, you see, you don't know. Well, there is, to an extent, we weren't that smart either, like some start of the year around saying, I'll pick you. But you didn't know who you were going to, who's going to be left.
Yeah, no, that's what. Jeez, like, there's a culture.
Well, yeah, I didn't know that.
There's a culture starting early there, isn't there?
There is.
Yeah, there is, yeah, I suppose, yeah. Yeah. My time now wasn't as ruthless as that. The teams were picked for us, thankfully.
Yeah, no, I knew it wasn't going to last that long. Because if you were the last fellas left.
It's a very diplomatic.
But if you were left to the end and you were in sixth class, you were just written off. The absolute worst thing in the world that could happen to you.
I actually remember at the end as well, when if you got to the final, like, there was lovely trophies then, though, like, and at the time, like, geez, we got a trophy, like, it's not a medal, like, it's a trophy, like. But like, they used to bring in kind of an inter-county player to reference. I don't know, was that there when you were there? Can you remember that? But I just remember, they asked me to go in there to a drill, go in to ref a game, and I was, time, I was like, Jesus, this is kind of big the way that it's all gone around. Like, so exactly. Like, and you probably don't realise that until you actually played in it yourself. Like,
Who else was in the man your time that would play for Kerry?
Geez, I don't think there was too many, to tell you the truth.
Gooch obviously was there. We John Hanline, Brian Kelly, Podge.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were in my class.
Yeah, no, but I'm just thinking your class,
There wouldn't be many, I'd say, no, they went on to play for Kerry as far as I can remember. She's a bit very bad.
I'm sorry.
You've dogged someone there.
No, we let it. I'm only joking. But yeah, schools football and club football and getting involved and invested from an early age is obviously so important, and it clearly happens down here a lot, and it's replicated. And you can even see in the wall there all the history and the players. You've brought in something for us as well, haven't you? I've got it here, sorry.
Oh, do there, yeah.
There, you take it there.
I just brought in my club jersey, the only club jersey I have, from our All-Ireland Intermediate Final in 2022. And that photo actually was the one that was hanging up in the dressing room, inside the Norwich Kerry dressing room. That's the one that was hanging up for me. And
that's the lads brought in for you?
Yeah, and it's just a photo of my wife and all my family. And I suppose, just an unbelievable day, because we're very lucky that we play with Kerry and that we have opportunities to play in Croke Park, but to get to play with your club is just so, so special. And I suppose people in that photo then as well, they were the ones, you know, that have been there through thick and thin when performances aren't going well, or you're getting frustrated, you're giving them a bit of grief, and I suppose they sacrifice as much if not more than you.
So who have we got here? So you've got the younger brothers.
Yeah, so my sister in the far left, and that's my wife there, Emer, my mother and father, and my two brothers, Colin and Mark. Yeah.
Mark looks depressed.
He does. He does. He's just after doing the speech. He was under pressure at the speech.
Did he do a party speech?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nobody can beat
that. That was actually the game after party.
Oh, was it the same
day? Yeah, same day, yeah.
That was
some journey he had then. All-Ireland Club Champions, AIB All-Ireland Club Champions, 22-23.
Yeah, no, it was unreal, and I think, you know, Your club just means so much to you, and I suppose when I'm from a rural part of Kerry in Rathmore, we're very proud of our football, and you know, just to look up to the stands after that game and see people there who were making us pass after training, who were lining the pitches, coaches who spent 15 years putting their time into you and getting nothing out of it, bar just the joy of seeing you, just to give them back a day out in Croker, and we'd a reception, the Gibson, after that, and I'd say Rathmore was the easiest place in the country to rob that night. Because there was about 400 people above and 400 or 500 people above in the Gibson, and we just had a magical week that week, yeah.
It's Rathbeg is where you train. It's the foot of the mountains, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Rathbeg, for me, it's the most beautiful place in Kerry, but I'd say the not too many club teams like come now because it's a cold spot. Like,
go on, paint the picture.
Well, it's just very open, I suppose. It is high ground. There's not too much surrounding it. And there's often a wind.
It's windy. It's always windy.
Windy, yeah. Windy there, yeah.
It would be like Galatasaray, really. Okay. Yeah.
I like that. I like saying that.
It's not a great venue, right, to be fair.
Yeah. Not quite the theatre of Doreen.
Theatre of Dreams, Doreen, yeah.
Yeah, in Killarney Legion.
All we need is a little bit of dry weather and it's the nicest surface in Kerry.
Okay.
Yeah, it is nice.
And like, you've got Fitzgerald Stadium right beside you as well, in the Crokes. Have you got a view of the mountains in the background?
Wouldn't be bad, no, to be fair, yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're very lucky now that we're so close.
You've had so many special days in the club as well.
Yeah, look, I suppose I've been lucky enough as well that I've been able to represent Crokes and Croke Park more than once, and it's special, as Shane was saying there, it's very special to be able to go out and represent your club. Obviously, we're very lucky to be able to do it at the inter-county level, but to be able to go out for your club, it's just, it's it's hard to put the words, I think.
The stock is in Dr. Crowe. I think Stacks are trying to join you as the joint most winner, so we'll know by the time this goes out if it's Stacks or Dingle who have won the Senior Football Championship in Kerry. But like when the heritage is there, and it's much the same as playing with Kerry, you don't take it for granted, do you? Like you've played an All Ireland Club final as well. I know you were so unlucky this year in Newbridge. I was at that game.
Yeah.
Against Errol Kieran.
Yeah, look, I've been very fortunate to come into a Croke team when I first came into senior squad. I think was it the second year or third year that we went on to win the All Ireland Club. Like, and at that time, thinking, geez, we might win county championships every year, and it just doesn't happen like that, obviously. But being very fortunate, obviously, to come into a senior squad with the likes of Gooch and Di Casey and Johnny Buckley, Ron Brass, and all these lads playing, like, you know. Just very fortunate to be able to be able to learn off them and be able to get feedback from them.
Yeah, no, it's class. Thanks for bringing those in, lads. They're cool. They're brilliant. I'll just play some behind us here and we'll get another shot at that. Cahill and Mark, obviously flat out with Ian Ratmore as well.
Yeah.
The two boys are flying it.
Yeah. So they were, Mark is echoing after coming. He's had a couple of years of injury. He got back now for the club championship and thankfully put back to back 60 minutes in place for him. So that's,
he struggled with injury now the last.
He struggled over the last couple of years. He did a bad knee injury. He ruptured the pleural tendon last year and left him out for 12 months. So he's just been coming back from that this year now and the body's been kind of breaking down small. But he seems to be kind of getting it right. So hopefully that can kind of hold to
him. What are you like as brothers on a football field? Are you, have you got that connection that other brothers may have exhibited when they only passed to each other?
There's a lot of backing going on.
There is.
There is. And it's all good nature, but we're extremely competitive and there'll be a few choice words at home as well if balls weren't given that should have been given and things like that.
You're building at the minute, right?
So I moved in. We built about 2 years ago there. So no, we're actually all gone separate ways, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Because when you meet each other now, it's probably less friction, yeah.
Three big men. They dominated the skies there a couple of weeks ago as well, the three. So, and the lads have been around Kerry at different times, haven't they?
Yeah, Carl was in the start of last year, I suppose in the initial panel, and just he tore his hamstring in January, and you know when you're a new player there, you have to stay fit for that time of year, and he just got unlucky, he tore his hamstring and was left out the panel in. Mark has been in two separate occasions, but again, injury for Mark has just been a big issue for him, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And look, that's the way it is, and he's kind of accepted that now that, look, his body probably isn't up to intercounty level, and, you know, having him fit for the club now is massive for us, like, you know.
There's a couple of quick-fire ones that I want to get to before we finish up here. Jack O'Connor, just want to talk about him for a few minutes. You've had him since minor. Did you have him in 21s as well?
Yeah.
Like, Jack in Kerry football, I was listening to yourself on the GAA social. I'd say it was maybe 10 minutes after you'd given your All-Ireland winning speech, and Thomas Niblock put it to you that Jack had intimated, he had only kind of suggested that he was potentially stepping away. I think we were all a little bit kind of cynical at the time.
I was shocked, when I heard that.
Yeah. But I think your answer kind of maybe told a tale as well. You were like, oh, we might have awarded him later that night. And you probably did you?
Gee, I can't remember saying that now, but yeah, look, Jack was involved at Meath. It's two of us since 2014, I'd say, was it?
14, yeah.
And for him, at the time, I suppose, for him to go back from being involved with the seniors, obviously, to go back to the minors is just a huge testament to him, I think. As I say, when I was posed that question directly after Iron Fine, it took me by surprise a year too, because I just didn't think he just loves the game. He just knows nothing else, only Kerry football, you know, and I knew, well, he'd come back. I can't remember speaking to him that night, but...
Yeah.
I didn't think he needed much convincing.
He strikes me as the perfect man to have had running the group this year with maybe some of the outside noise that we referenced earlier. He seemed to just manage it expertly.
Yeah, I suppose the start here is probably tough for him because I suppose I lacked the backroom team left last year, so he had to assemble more or less a brand new backroom team. And
Keane O'Neill was a good coup to get in there.
100%, yeah. Keane's been fantastic for us. And I think Jack is, you know, he's a wise head at this age. It's his third tenure. He's probably seen every nook and cranny in championship that can happen, big wins, big losses, and I suppose he leans on that experience, and I suppose you really value his opinion then because you know he's been through it. So if he's telling you we're fine, don't worry, you kind of take that on the chin, and his experience is massive for us, yeah.
We've been speaking to a number of players over the year and we've had a couple of different questions with them. Can you give us, and I'm hitting you off the cuff of this, your favourite sports person outside of Gaelic football growing up? You might have a quick one there, do you?
I suppose J star would have been Seamus Moynan.
Really?
Yeah. Seamus was, I just thought Seamus was unbelievable. Like, and I suppose he's from Inverness, which is literally 10 minutes over the road from me. But Seamus was just like, he was an absolute dog of a man marker, but such poise in the ball then. So he really could mix both.
Aidan McGarrald, I was chatting to him that morning afterwards, he was obviously involved with you this year, and he spoke about the Jubilee team obviously being let out that day as well.
Yeah.
And he spoke about how grateful he was for Seamus Moynihan's performance that day. And he said that he was thinking of Gavin and Gavin's performance, that he might be looking at Gavin in 25 years and saying, Gavin White was our Seamus Moynihan.
Actually, funny enough, I normally go for the walk in the Ireland final date, you know, just you know, right arrive in. But we were a bit late because the crowds were so big that the bus was slow. But
you didn't do lower than it, like.
I didn't. No, I probably didn't.
The poor bus driver.
I didn't get a chance to go out at all. So I went out on my own later.
Okay.
And I walked back in. The Jubilee team were lined up.
Yeah.
And Seamus and Declan Keefe would be our goalkeeper from Rathmore. And I just happened to pass them, and they shook my hand, and they caught it with such a ferocious grip. I nearly took the hinges off the door coming back in. I was so wound after meeting them. Seamus is a hero of mine. Yeah, yeah.
That's unreal. Did you have anyone?
Yeah, I suppose naturally, but probably Mark or Tomás O'Shea, I suppose, growing up. Just like I don't need to really speak about them as growing up. Like, you want to be, I suppose, playing their positions. Killian Young as well, I suppose. I remember going to a lot of games watching the way he played growing up. And obviously, when he was number seven jersey, like, I was hoping that someday I might be able to wear that jersey as well. But yeah, those three come to mind straight away.
What's your favourite thing about Gaelic football? I know you love football.
The camaraderie.
Really?
Yeah, I find it very difficult to be part of an individual sport, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like it looked like, sort of, you know, McIlroy and these golfers, and obviously unreal for them, but they feel all like, you know, it's nice to be able to share the highs with a collection of people, and then when there's lows there, it's nice to use them for a comfort blanket as well, to know there's someone else going through what you're going through. So for me, that's the...
Has to blame a bit.
yeah. As a goalkeeper, 100%.
I thought you were going to quote Roy Keane there, try playing in Tyrone on a Saturday night, forget about Betpage.
Oh, yeah.
Yourself?
Yeah, no, I'd be very much the same as well.
Really?
I know a lot of players say that, but it's just so important to have that...
The group.
The people around you, social, like it's in any walk of life, you want people around you, and particularly on any sporting background. I find it very hard to go by myself. I try to play a small bit of golf, and Jesus, it can be daunting enough place when you're by yourself there.
Yeah.
So to be able to rely on other lads is crucially important, I think.
Brilliant. No lonelier spot than the first tee with a crowd behind you on the golf, and you know that it's not going where it's supposed to go.
You're just
absolutely...
You're trying to make sure you hit it like...
We'll yeah, just get this somewhere out there anyway.
We'll work on it, James. Gavin White, Shane Ryan, thanks so much for joining us on the Football Pod Club. We really appreciate your time and joining us down here in Jimmy Bryan's. We're going to be on the road a couple of times with AIB over the next couple of weeks and months, but to start off at the home of the All-Ireland Champions was brilliant, and thanks for letting us in on your story as well. Appreciate it, boys.
Thank you. Cheers, boys.
Enjoy the holiday and the next couple of weeks and months before
congratulations.
The madness starts again.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gavin. Thanks Shane.
Best of luck.
The Football Pod Club, on Off The Ball, in partnership with AIB. Proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships for men's football, hurling, ladies football and camogie. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.